Welcome to the TNT EdTech Podcast. We know tech. We are your hosts.
I'm Scott, the teacher.
And I'm Matthew, the tech coach.
Welcome to the TNT EdTech Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Nunes, with Matthew Ketchum. Matthew, how's it going tonight?
It's going great, Scott. Thank you on this Tuesday, the last Tuesday of February. Oh, yeah. It's going good.
That is good. I don't know if you're like me, but I'm starting to feel a little gassed. How about you?
Yeah, I think we all need a spring break sooner than later.
Yes. I think this is the most I've wanted a spring break in all my years of education, for sure. Not to escape, you know, the great work that we do. I find it really fulfilling, but just needing to recharge that battery, engage in some self-care. I'm really blessed to be able to actually, you know, have some opportunities to, you know, go play with my family or maybe go on a quick trip somewhere. You know, our state's opened up a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
So there's some more opportunities that way. And I would encourage anyone that can to do so safely because it's much needed. Do whatever brings you joy. I think I would want to tinker a little bit. I'm thinking it's mighty cold out, but I would love to get to a beach and build some sandcastles. So
yeah, I would imagine that you do that really good. No, I think we're just all teamed out, zoomed out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one video call after another, and I think we need a break from it.
Yeah, thanks for those out there on Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook tuning in live. I see a number of you. Feel free to jump in the chat. Remember, if you're on Facebook, if you want to leave a comment, have a show your comment on the screen, go ahead and enable StreamYard so that we can make that happen. And
hey, can tonight, I do a shout out?
Yeah, definitely.
So my parents watched this live stream. They watched the recording of it the next day at lunch. So I just like to say hello, Mom and Dad.
That's so cool. My mom is actually not on Facebook, so I have to give her like special links and like walk her through it.
Not a flash drive of the file.
That would probably be easier.
All right.
Yeah. You know, I guess I just need to give her the Twitter link and be like, hey, watch it here on Periscope and you'll be okay. She doesn't do social media, which is, I think it's kind of cool, right? You know, it's like the anti thing. I think back to us like growing up in the 90s era and like, you know, the big anti-establishment thing was like a thing growing up, like not doing the status quo. And so with everybody literally on social media, my mom is going against, you know, the man, right?
Yeah.
it's just not her space at all. She enjoys connecting face to face, and you know, it really doesn't it serve much of a purpose for her. I think it's cool. She has a strong local PLN.
Yeah, I was surprised. Even some high school students in the Exploring Computer Science class, you know, just taking a poll, you know, social media, we're kind of going over some of those safety precautions and being mindful, you know, think before you post ideas. And right. I was surprised about a third of them had absolutely zero social media accounts. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's surprising. I guess I never did a poll when I was in the classroom last year, but I guess I just assumed. I bet there were some. And
yeah,
I wonder, did you ask them, those that didn't, why? Like, was it a parental thing or choice?
It was not. I was curious as well. So I thought it might have been, but it was not from their point of view. It was their self-choice. And I think it's just some of that ideas of, you know, there's just with any tool, there's, it depends how you use it or how you interact with it. And right. So they, I think they were seeing more of the media side of it, you know, hey, is this correct information being shared? How do I know if it's correct? What I'm getting in there. So I think they started to see some of those areas of the social media and saying, definitely I don't want to be involved in that part.
Yeah, that's good to have that awareness, right? Know what you're signing up for and getting into. And, you know, it's very easy for other companies, hackers, you know, Maleficent type individuals with bad intent to get your information and do bad things, right? The number one goal for a lot of these cyber criminals is to get that student data, right? That kind of like quote unquote virgin data, so they could start taking credit cards and home loans and things like that out in their name. And it's horrible that exists in our world, that you could, you know, become an adult and already have your credit and reputation tarnished due to no fault of your own, really. So I'm really glad we have some strong student data privacy standards. I'm glad more and more companies are becoming compliant and protecting data. I think that's really important.
I agree. I think it's becoming more of a, you'll see it kind of nationally now, where companies want to show their student data privacy. They want to show how they are being compliant. How are they protecting that student data, not selling or sharing it with third parties? And that just gives reassurance to us as education leaders for choosing those apps, but also for those families.
Yeah. Let's get into some of our EdTech news. What are some updates?
So I heard that Nearpod, we were just talking about Nearpod in a couple of episodes ago. Who is buying Nearpod? Nearpod's being bought out.
Yeah, by Renaissance. That's crazy. And they just got Flocabulary not too long ago. Time's been flying. 2020 feels like 5 years. So I don't know, like a year and a half ago, maybe, I would guess, without fact checking. Somebody do me a favor, fact check me and throw it in the chat for me. Correct me if I'm wrong, please. But, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, one of our other favorite tools, Schoology, our LMS, got bought out by PowerSchool. I think we mentioned that last time. There's a lot of acquisitions happening. PowerSchool bought up Who Knew It recently.
They did. And then just recently, just last week, Naviance, the college and career readiness program. Mm-hmm. And we actually use everything that PowerSchool is buying so far, except Who Knew It. I mean, Naviance, we have Schoology. We were using that Unified Talent. They bought that.
Okay.
That's our PD catalog.
Okay, I got a recommendation for all the PowerSchool execs out there.
Yeah.
Buy Aludo. I want Aludo.
Yes! Yes, that would be such a great compliment to their PD.
Yeah, catalog. I would really like that. I think that would work so well for what I'm doing right now with professional development. I really like gamification. I like incentivizing. I like increasing that engagement. I could see myself planting some Easter eggs using that tool. Just, it'd be a blast. Earlier today, I was having a brief conversation about gamification and it got me all fired up. I'm like, oh, I'm missing it. I'm missing the gamified classroom. So I always love to share out. And whenever anybody has like a little inkling to try a piece of gamification, I'm all in. Like, I'll totally help you. Let me know what you need. And I gotcha. You know, I can so be I, there.
I see that rubbing off at the school site that you were at. There's another teacher kind of going into ed tech area and started sharing some of his presentations. But he goes from the how to use it to kind of how he uses it in the class. But then he has the gamification element in there. And I said, that's a bit of Scott there still up at that school site.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Great educator. Very passionate. And while our paths seem very similar. I getting to know him, I think he was very much on his own journey. So while there's similarities and parallels, it's definitely not a copycat journey. And I bring that up because just because, you know, one of us may be succeeding in one area and another one in another area, it doesn't mean there needs to be this competition, like who's the best one at gamification, right? We'll take right. that as an example. Yeah. But really working together and to collaborate to build something even better, like if we can put our minds together and come up with an even better gamification system. And I'm throwing the gauntlet down to all the companies out there because I hope we see more of that. I really like seeing how well Flipgrid and Wakelet play together. I want to see more of that amongst companies.
Yeah, you see, like right now, I mean, GimKit, that's like so popular of a request.
Right.
For training. But you're no, right. The students are engaged with the gamification, and they're learning.
Right. I played GimKit today. I was in on a training for that. Excellent training, by the way. A shout out to our trainer who did that. And it is so fun. And I love how much choice there is in there. They keep branching out and offering choice and switching things up. Josh just has a very innovative mind, one of the co-founders of GimKit, and I love his youthful spirit. It definitely speaks to our students. We can see that in the product, and I just want more and more of that. And there are so many options. It's so versatile. If I had to pick one kind of formative assessment tool or, you know, like gamified tool, if you will, it would be that one. I feel like it's easy to use. It's really a one-stop shop for a lot of things. I can do edu protocols in there, especially Fast and Curious, one of my favorites. So I love being able to do that in there. And I love how you can make it competitive in different ways. I love how you can hide little things in there. Really, if you can dream it, you can do it with that tool. And I really like that.
Now, did they recently, I remember using it, the free version, you could do like 5 kits.
Right.
But is it now that you can only have like up to 5 people?
5 players. Yeah. So I'm so bummed about that because I've been really promoting that. I don't know. I've been meaning to reach out on that and find out and even request that they flip flop it back because I don't know. I could be wrong. Right.
Well, how can you even try it with your class?
You can't try it with your class. That's the thing. So you're limited. And I'm seeing it now when I tell people about it, they're turned off because they can't really try the classroom experience. I would say if they had to offer less, you know, if it's a cost issue, well, cut back some of the features, you know, see if one of your community partners there in the edtech space can kind of, you know, uplift you, you know, based upon your need. Because it's a great, great product. I don't think anybody else is doing anything close. Even if you combine a couple other tools, it's just so unique. And I want to keep that alive because the students love it. I had the students vote. It's the number one requested item when I do trainings as well.
Scott, where other places does a student keep asking to do a quiz or test?
right. It just doesn't happen. So if you're talking student engagement right now, that's one way. Now, can you just do GimKits all day? No, but you could switch it up. You could do a Fast and Curious. So you do your pre-assessment, you teach and reteach a little bit, and then you do your post-assessment. So you do 2 GimKits, you teach, and maybe you do some group work and some conversating in between, and boom. There's your traditional period. And guess what? The time flies by and everybody's learning and having a great time.
They are. When I would, as a tech coach, you know, I would come in and kind of introduce GimKit. you know, the teacher would say, well, I don't have time to create one right now, and, you know, or look at what the community has done. And I would say, no, we actually can do this right now. I go, it's all right if I try this with your class. The kit collapse, having the students create the questions, the teachers are always so surprised, like, that's a better question than I would have asked. And it helped the students because, you know, each student had a different perspective of what they remembered or how they learned it or experienced it. And they were coming with different questions from different points of view, and students were like learning from each other. So even the kit collabs are so powerful.
No, you're right. That's a fun one. And that's what I mean by choice, right? There are so many choices. You can also download flashcards from Pear Deck and from Quizlet.
That's right.
And then upload them back to GimKit, which I think is so cool. I was really bummed when that integration with Quizlet, the direct integration, got pulled away. But now this is even better in a sense, because now you can pull it from Pear Deck as well. And I think there's some more. They're escaping me at the moment. But any of those flashcard type programs, you could just download that file and then re-upload it in the GimKit and you're good to go. And you're absolutely right. When students are creating that, that gives them, you know, some skin in the game. They're able to say, hey, I contributed. And then that leads to future or further student investment. And that's what they want. Really, we need to go beyond engagement, and we need them to invest in their learning. And for them to invest, they have to see the value. And it's going to take a little patience, a little time, but consistent, clear learning experiences that are encapsulated, sprinkled with a little bit of fun. You need some fun right now.
You do.
Life really sucks for some people. I know, you know, that's a bold statement, but it does. We had a family friend that just lost a child. Like, oh, I can't even imagine. Or all of our friends in Texas. I can't imagine not having potable water. Or maybe I was just chatting with a friend from there today, and they're concerned about their electricity bill. So they weren't one of the ones that lost power and all that. But now you're hearing these horror stories, right? There are some big things going on, or people losing jobs. I heard of somebody that got COVID and they have to stay home, and their work isn't going to pay them for that time off. Wow. So they have to be off for 10 days and then not get paid. And they don't exactly make a whole lot of money. So they're wondering where that money's going to come from and what they can do. And I feel for people. I'm really blessed and definitely counting my blessings right now during all of this. We did have a death in the family related to COVID on my wife's side, and a couple other kind of things here and there with some family members. So no, thanks. But, you know, that's like nothing compared to other people, like really nothing. And so my heart goes out to teachers out there and to students. Yeah. And it's so tough. So whatever we can do in the classroom to kind of reel them in and keep them. Another thing is, I have it turned off right now, but I have this nice little portable light. I did pay a little bit for it, so you might have to use some department funds or something like that. Yeah. But this is like a RGB light, so gives you almost any basic color you want, or it gives you a white light or a yellow light. You can turn down the intensity, turn it up, and I got a couple of these on special on Amazon for $110. So I paid a little bit more for it.
Do you control it with your phone, or how do you change the colors?
You can, and you can get way more colors on your phone, but I have so many apps. There's a little knob on the back here. So let's see. This one does the color here. If my streaming camera were better, I could actually showcase the colors. It doesn't pick them up very well directly when it's shining on my face, but I was thinking of
you can show it like in the background, right? Or a wall.
That's what I was thinking. So make it look inviting, make it look like a streamer's environment, and that's very inviting to this generation because it's something they're familiar with. They watch a lot of influencers, a lot of gamers, or makeup artists doing things like that. And speaking of that, this one, I got this ring light. This one works really well. You can put your phone right there if you want, or your device. And normally these are about $30, but I picked up this bad boy for, I think, 11 and change before tax. So about $13 with taxes. And what I really like about this one, at first I was frustrated, but when we go back to conferences, this one plugs into a USB, which I was like, oh no, I need a power outlet. But guess what? I can plug it into my portable charger and it's good to go. So if I need to go on the go or move from a classroom or site, I could do it. It's super light. I could curl this right all day long. And then less portable, I have a giant ring light, which I had before, but it was, I don't know, I wasn't feeling it. So I took it back, right? And then it was like way less than I paid. And so I bought it again. And I haven't taken it out of the box like I was sharing with you off camera. Yeah. The little office area is so tight over here and with the kids and the family and projects.
Do you want to share your tip for an affordable way to do green screen?
Yeah, where did I put that thing? Let me, so you keep talking, I'll, or you know what? I could do it. So you could see this, right? I pulled up my other screen. So this is a Dollar Tree plastic green cloth. So
how much did you pay?
Patty's Day.
How much?
$1.
$1.
I'm going to turn on the little green screen
look
there.
Look and how there well we go. That works.
Right? So it's not perfect. I could adjust it. You have to work on your lighting, but when your lighting's good, I mean, it stays here. I'll change the background. So you get somebody's living room awesome. There, right? That's pretty cool.
I
really like it. So that's my one tip for today. And it works so well, right? It's neat if you can use the embedded ones, but hey, if you want to switch it up and do something super custom or true green screen, well, technically that's not true, but getting closer to true on a budget, like our buddy Ed Campos says in some of his sessions, balling on a budget, that's not going to break the bank. $1 and you're done. One thing I did learn is you do need at least two layers. So think about that with your background. You can't just, stretch it all the way out like you would across the table. You do have to at least have it folded in half. But just put it on some PVC pipe or, makeshift something. I could even throw it on my giant ring light and put that behind me and I'd be good to go.
Yeah, so maybe like the clips.
Yeah, do the clips. I've seen people do little attachments to their chairs and then put it on that.
Oh, wow.
You're good.
That.
Yeah, and I've seen people wear them as capes. So if you want to have a little superhero day while you're presenting to your students, and then it could be thematic. Maybe you're reading a novel or exploring a new, new skill. You could showcase that skill, have it displayed, whatever you're showing, like some quadratic equations or something for math. That'd be pretty cool. I'm trying to think, what else were we going to talk about?
Oh,
I know I'm missing something.
Google.
Yeah, talk about that. And then.
What was it? It used to be Google Apps for Education, or GAF, they used to say. Mm-hmm. Then it changed to Google G Suite for Education. And yet they're changing their name again. So it is Google Workplace for Education.
Nice.
And that comes with some new announcements, rollout of a couple different tiers or additions for the educational community. So they're going to have educational or Google Workplace for Education Fundamentals, Standard, Plus Edition, So they're going to be having a couple of different pricing points too. Each one comes with its own structure for pricing per student per year. But a couple of the neat announcements coming in March 9th, Chromebooks, the updated Chrome OS mm-hmm. and Chromebooks will have a built-in screencasting for creating screencast videos, which is pretty
cool. Cool. So another reason to get your own Dollar Tree tablecloth there. And this graphic, shout out to John Sawash. You could check out all of his great work on Twitter. And I mostly check out his work on YouTube. He has a great set of videos. Just keeps pumping them out. He has the Chrome Classroom. If you're using Chrome, using Google, he's your guy. So definitely check him out.
Yeah,
shout out to him.
There as well as that. Google Forms is right now in a beta version of will save your progress. So you know how in Google Form you had to complete the whole thing to
the whole thing. Oh.
Now it's in beta. Wow. It will save a draft of it, a progress, when you go back on the same device or the same account that you log in to fill it out. It will remember where you left off.
That is going to be awesome for filling out forms, like these huge long forms that you sometimes have to do when you're presenting at conferences.
Okay. you got to collect your thoughts, or now you're like, oh, right. I need to get that artifact together.
I don't know about our listeners, but I've had it happen more than once where, like you're saying, I have to collect my thoughts. Okay, I didn't realize I needed this to be able to present or submit this form. Let me grab this item and put it in. And by the time I get back, that form needs to reset. There's some kind of error, right? Something went on, or I leave the form for a bit, and maybe I gotta go answer some emails. And I come back to it, and now I need to reset it, and I lost my progress. Like, no, all that work. Yeah, but now, hey, I could save it. I like that.
A certain price tier in Google Docs will have an approvals process built in.
Okay.
For like who goes next to review it. To approve the project.
Neat. That's going to help a lot of districts. There's been a lot. I don't know about you, but my inbox has been getting flooded with applications like that to authenticate documents. Like, let's say you need, like for some of our business stuff where, you know, I'll need to sign it, then I pass it off to you, you sign it, and then, you know, so-and-so signs it, then the next person signs it kind of thing, and then we all get a copy of the doc when we're all done.
So that's in there. That's in a price tier, though. That's in the educational plus tier. So it won't be automatically free. Some good things come in. Also, Google Classroom more and more is looking like a very competitive LMS.
Right.
It was this like free edition. It's also going to have a price tier to it now.
Okay. I think a lot of places are going to gobble that up. I think we as educators, even those of us that use it and like it, have been, after them a little bit to transition it from a content management system to a learning management system and to offer more of this one-stop shop experience. So it's neat to have them finally do that. I'm excited about that. Hey! There he is right here. Shout out to John. I don't know if your ears were burning, my friend. We were actually just showing your website. In fact, I got it, or not your website, your Twitter. Forgive me. Here it is. So we were showing off your amazing graphic right here. This is so cool.
Updates coming.
Yeah. Awesome job on that. I mean, look how many times it's been shared. Solid work here.
I'm really excited for just a screen recorder built in, free addition to the update of Chrome OS March 9th. That's gonna be nice.
Yeah, and you know, getting into Minecraft and getting back into AR VR thanks to Jamie Donnelly, I really like how Minecraft is playable on the Chromebook. I think that's so cool. And John's adding lots of good things on the horizon. I think so. A lot of these companies are sharing out some amazing updates
and they're being mindful. I mean, they had updates now being better with the student data privacy, being more clear in the apps that are used on those devices. Accessibility, you know, we're seeing more with those features, even the captions and translations that Microsoft's doing really well. Google's adding some of those features as well to their products.
Yeah. Oh, we got Eric Geis in the house. Great stuff here. He says, good shares. Yeah, we got some ed tech gurus in here. And definitely hey, some Google fans. Can I
share my screen?
Yeah, share away. Will it let you? Sorry. Your first timer guest share.
All right, here we go. Can you see it?
Okay, there we go.
So this is Google's had a Google Arts and Culture website, but they just revamped it with Learn with Google Arts and Culture. And let me just show you a couple really neat things they added to it. So they have like a quick tips and review of what I'll show you here. So yeah, they have these different topics and subjects that you can pick from. But right below it, they have lesson plans created. So these are downloadable lesson plans that are paced out on these different topics, which is really great to see. And then look at this, virtual field trips that Google has done really well in a collected area that you can also cycle through and choose from. And this is really fun, just with the different apps on the phone, taking your picture, it matches you up with different artwork that might resemble what you took a picture of, which is pretty neat. And then I think you're going to really like this 3D printing topics here. And look at this 360 degree virtual reality video to choose from.
That's so cool. What museum is that? That one looks familiar. Is that I'm blanking. What's the one in Chicago?
Fields Museum.
Yes. Is that the Fields Museum?
It looks like they're saying it's the London Natural History Museum here. But you're close. It does look like that. I agree.
Yeah, that's a great museum. And guys is sharing, great to see you back on the mic, Matthew. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. But look, and then look at this, Scott. I'm really excited for this. So I really like the Google Applied Digital Skills. I'm sorry, Google's Applied Digital Skills lessons. But look at this. So they incorporate using their Google different apps with what you're learning. So create and share a quiz and forms after visiting the place.
Oh, I'm jealous. I've been to Paris. And I chose to do a different tour over going to Versailles. It was on my list and I never made it. I've been bummed. That was back in 2000.
But look at this.
Me jealous. Now I can check it out.
Collaborate with peers. Create a presentation after investigating the space shuttle. I love how they give these, you know, extended or expanded lessons with what they're sharing here.
Yeah, so cool. I could see myself using something like that. No, it's a really touchy subject, but I've always found it very powerful and meaning. And some of the best conversations I've ever had with students have stemmed from talking about the Holocaust. So acknowledging right away, it's atrocious, right? but taking students on a Google Maps tour of Auschwitz and letting them see all of those different places and looking at historical documents and then comparing them with documentaries. There was one from Oprah with Elie Wiesel that we would check out. And all of that together with the novel Night that we were studying was so powerful. And they would create their own tour. So talk about applied skills. I can see that. And as a teacher, I presented a lot of it to the students and you know, they built a lot of that themselves. So a lot of the heavy lifting was taken off of me as the teacher, and I was able to circulate and give feedback. But if it's already all done and curated for me and I don't have to think about it, that's even better, right? That's that much more time I have to be there for my students, maybe help out in terms of SEL, self-care for them, just checking in, providing a soundboard, doing student conferences. That's another thing I think that's underrated right now, the power of a student conference, a quick one-on-one, going in a breakout room, or depending on, you know, your learning model or teaching model right now. If you're face-to-face, of course, just going off and just having that quick kind of check-in with maybe like a little rubric, a single or a few point rubric. Wow, that just, it is so powerful. And I find it really rewarding and escalating quickly that student outcomes, because they're more aware of what those expectations are. I think back to John Hattie's work with visible learning, student expectations is one of the top effect sizes. And those one-on-one conferences really help achieve that. So I think that's really cool. I like the 3D printing piece too. Yeah. I'm going to share my screen again and share some files that I got. So let me share these. Yeah, so I got these files today from Keith Picard, and really cool. So these are all, I'm blanking right now, vertebrates. And these are scans that I believe he helped, or somebody he knows helped. So the Stroud Research Center went ahead and made these 3D scans. And I was thinking, well, if you can't go down to a physical location right now, like go into a stream, he's an ecology teacher, professor, and he takes his students out there. Well, if you can't right now, what's the next best thing? Well, bring these items to them in a virtual space, or, you know, in your limited physical space, maybe you can't go on a field trip, but you can print out these models. So I just got these today. So stay tuned. I'm going to start with this flatworm because it's nice and flat.
Wow.
It's going to make for a really nice, easy print on the bed. And then I'm going to try some of these. I think I'm going to mess with the orientation. I don't think these are going to print so well with the sideways orientation. So I'm going to flip these over here, but so cool. And I just want to do more and more of that. So if our listeners have any ideas or things they want to see, hey, send me a file. Let's see, Tyler's chiming in here. He says, download the STL, upload it into Tinkercad, use the AR camera to bring it to life. Whoa. If you can't 3D print it. Yeah, I want to see what that looks like. I don't know if it's going to work for me right now. Should we gamble,
Matt? Yeah, let's try. Oh, so, okay. So did you download the file?
I'll download it right now. Let's take this one. I want to download this one. So, folks, you're watching us. I'm opening one of the files I want to download. I'm downloading it, and then I'll need to extract it. So I'm going to show it. Not going to show you my whole file system here, but I'll show it to you in the folder. So I have it ready to go. Here's the file right here.
That's awesome.
Let's do what Tyler's talking about.
And then now we're going
to exit out of this. Now I'm going to go to Tinkercad. I'm already logged in. Let's see. And we're going to import it. Let's see if it'll just let me drag it. Now, sometimes the importing's a little tricky if you have like too many angles. Like I had an eagle. It was very simple, but there were so many different angles. It was weird. Let's see. I'm not seeing it. It's still loading.
And the great thing about Tinkercad, it's free.
Yeah. Oh, Yeah, I think my three favorite F words are fun, flexible, and free.
All right.
And I think this meets that, right? With
It does. It does.
what
It
Tyler's
does.
talking about. It is taking a while to load. Ah, there we go. Okay, so I'm gonna just zoom in so folks can see. I can orient this. If I wanted to grab this, let's see, which way do I gotta turn this guy?
Yeah, you're doing good.
Yeah, here, which way do I? And I lost it. Okay, we'll turn him that way. And let's see. So he's not touching the ground. Whatever. I'm gonna leave him right there. And then I'm trying to think. I think it's in here. Yes. So we could send it to the merge viewer. So if I had my merge cube linked up, ready to go, I could display this right in my office here. But I'm looking at, I don't have a merge cube ready to go. Which, by the way, if you have extra merge cubes lying around, they work great with babies. A 4-month-old loves the merge cube. I was doing something with it. He grabbed it.
Is it
And
the squishiness of it, or
yeah, the squishiness of it. And I was afraid with the design coming off, but it worked out fine.
Oh, that's good.
Okay, let's see. So thanks everyone for hanging in there. Needed on a device, yes, is what Tyler's saying. Let me share that. Works great on iPad. It's fairly accurate for size too. Yeah, it's really accurate. While that's kind of loading, I could show everyone a slightly different one. Let me pull this up. Let me go to Google. And Matthew, I know you know about this one, but for our folks out there, if you have a newer phone, this is really nice. I'm going to do it on my desktop. But if you just search up the word lion or tiger, scroll down a little bit, you're going to have an option. And I don't know why I'm not seeing it right now. Maybe I'm used to doing it on my phone. I think I'll have to.
Yeah, I think it's on the mobile.
It's got to be on the mobile.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting tired here. Let's see.
So
I
what
can
you're
show.
mentioning is it would put that animal in AR, right? Augmented reality. It would put it right there in
Yeah,
the environment.
so let's see if my phone shows up. So if I scroll up here,
There it
I
is.
can hit this view in 3D option, and now I can manipulate the lion. And if I had a Samsung Note 10 or above, or the latest iPhone, there would be another option down here at the bottom,
You could
and I
have it
could
in your
view in place,
environment.
and I could have it right here in
Yeah.
my office. So super cool. Let's see if that file ended up going.
So Scott, when are we going to get you on the iPhone?
I was really tempted with, I wonder if it's gonna let me. I feel like I'm missing a step. I'm missing something here. There's a way to view this in 3D. And I'm missing it. I almost got it just for Clubhouse.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, but I decided, I'm just gonna wait until Android. Let me check
Or
out.
even the iPad. I mean, there's some good priced options there.
Checking. I uploaded something else. I guess I'll have to do some more research. But when I did this before, I had another object here and I was able to just click on it. Oh, I uploaded the wrong file. I think that's what I did. I don't know that I uploaded the STL. I'll have to mess with it later. But I think our audience can use their imagination and kind of
Yeah, give them a
figure out what.
challenge. Have them
There you
bring
go.
something into Tinkercad
And
and
then
then,
tag us on social media. I like
yeah, do
it.
the AR with the merge.
Yeah, there you go.
And let
So
us
we're giving
know.
you all some homework. Go ahead, play with some AR VR stuff, play around with some STL files and Tinkercad. bring them over, send us some screenshots, tag us. We'd love to see the work you're doing with AR/VR.
Our next episode, we should share what we did with that challenge.
You're going to have to remind me, but yes.
All right. I
can do it. All right. I can definitely do it. I've been having a lot of fun tinkering with placing things in AR/VR scenarios and pulling them out and creating in the AR/VR space and 3D printing it and vice versa. And I want to work on printing like a scanner. So if we go back to that site Thingiverse, they have lots of files on that. So I wanted to build one out. And as you know, just with being busy, it's hard to tinker all the time. So I have to kind of get back into it gradually. Like even I've been printing small things.
I agree. Even the time in our own positions, you know, once upon a time, you know, before things pre-COVID, there was time to explore, discover, play, and everything is just we're on a conveyor belt right now. Things are just moving so fast.
Yeah. I would like to get back to that time to be able to like just explore and ideate a little bit and hypothesize and just experience a thing. You know, let us know in the chat what you miss most with being in the pandemic right now. What are some things you're missing out on? Because I'm sure even if you're face to face, there's got to be something. Our lives have been radically changed. You know, any advice just in general as we close, Matthew?
For that topic?
Just in general.
Oh, I would say, you know, just on your message is being kind, being understanding. Everyone's on a journey right now. Everyone's kind of going through something. And I think sometimes we're, you know, quick to kind of, you know, make judgments. But I think it's just, we're on a journey. I just say, be kind. We're on a journey, step by step.
Yeah. Kindness goes a long, long way. I've been reflecting so much on that. Even when I think I've been wronged, you know, exactly what Tyler's saying. Give grace, because you don't know. And what this year has showed me time and time again is, you know what? I don't know it all. Even if I'm like certain, like this person did this thing because of this, this was their intention. Yeah. I've been proved so wrong so many times regarding that. And I just, you know, have to meet people where they are, and nobody's perfect. And I have to be okay with that, even when people mess up, you know, because I mess up too, especially right now. Like, I'm getting tired. I can't remember what I did last time on Merge EDU, right? You know, we're all bound to make errors. And I think it's less about perfection and more about giving grace, more about being there for each other and growing together, working together. I think as long as we keep working together for a better tomorrow, we're all going to end up just being better people, better educators, and really just instill some lifelong learning in those we serve. And that's what excites me the most. I spoke with the EdTech rabbi just last Thursday, and a huge fan, and he got me fired up and instantly felt like I was back in the classroom. Talking about kids and their projects and PBL and business. While I myself did not succeed well at business, I get that fire. I was a young entrepreneur, started my own business at 14, and you know, had this drive. And ever since then, I've always wanted more. And I wanted to give back. So it started with coaching. Like, okay, I'm going to give back. I'm going to try to be a better coach than the coaches I had, or try and take the good things that the good coaches I had helped me with. I was really blessed to have a coach of mine who was a former Olympian and and she got the silver medal in breaststroke. So she really helped me develop that skill, and I try to retain as much of that as possible and pass on that wisdom to those that I coached. And it's really neat to see students blossom and to grow and just to do amazing things. One of my students is working for Tyler Oliveira, which I've mentioned him plenty of times. He's a local YouTuber. He has 1.3 million followers last time I checked. And they're silly videos, but it's so cool to see my former student on there. So Tyler's not my former student, but he's hired one of my former students. And it's like, man, that was a really nice kid. Like, it's neat to see him put his audio video experience to work in that YouTube setting. And I want that for other students, right? They have to know it's possible. And I know in the past, folks may have knocked on gamers, YouTubers, influencers. That's like a legit thing. It's not like some obscure Hollywood thing. I think it's more possible. And talk about entrepreneurship. That is so possible. And I think we need to give opportunities for that and provide access to the tools needed to do that. And also just uplift and encourage. I think just being positive and giving that grace, it goes so far. So want to thank everyone that tuned in and listen. Let us know in the comments too if you like us going live and then sharing out a week later like we've been doing on the podcast. We definitely want to get back to kind of the way we were doing things, having on guests as well, but we're kind of testing this out. We're taking some risks, and we find it really fulfilling. I really like being able to chat with our community while we're talking and answering some questions. I think of this thing I do at work, Ask a Tech Coach. It's very similar. I love to help. So if you have any questions, have anything you want covered on the podcast, tag us in a post on social media. Let us know. Or go on our website. Yeah,
I like this guy. I mean, before we're doing the audio, we have the guests, but we're not having that interaction with the listeners. And this is a really neat way that to do it, the live, and have the interaction with people in different social medias of their choice. They don't even have to be in a certain platform. They can tune in wherever they're at, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, so cool. Well, Matthew, you want to do the honors and take us out with our socials and website?
Sure. Let's see if I got them here. So TNT EdTech Podcast is on your favorite podcast player app of choice. We broadcast weekly on Tuesdays at 10 p.m. is when we release the episodes. And you can find us live on Tuesdays evenings as well, with the social media app of your choice coming to you through StreamYard. We are on Twitters, and our Twitters are at Matt EdTech Coach. Yes, that's right. Matt EdTech Coach. And TNT is at TNT EdTech. And then Scott is, let me see if I got yours, at Mr. Noons Teach.
There Twitter. We go. Bravo.
And we are at www.tntedtech.com, where you can find us, links to the podcast players, past episodes, and even the video recordings from these live. What do you call these? Are these called a video podcast, a VOD?
Yeah, it's like a vlog video podcast. Okay. I just feel like I've been calling it a live podcast.
Okay, a live podcast. I like
that. Yeah. Yeah, so join us for the next one. We're trying to be consistent, but it's a little tricky with our schedules. Things come up, right? And it's hard to be consistent these days with our times. But what we're thinking is we'll do the live podcast on Tuesday and release that episode via the audio podcast channels the next Tuesday. So stay tuned. And like Matthew said, we're releasing the audios at 10 p.m. the following week on Tuesday. So every Tuesday, 10 p.m., you're getting a fresh episode. So stay tuned. And if you like the episode, please give us a shining review over on Apple Podcasts.
Thank you for listening to the TNT EdTech Podcast. You can follow us on any podcast player of your choice. Also on Twitter at TNT EdTech. Follow us on the web at www.tntedtech.com.